It's a pretty strange gospel passage that we have today, with the 10 virgins waiting in the dark for a bridegroom who comes by surprise. And I was thinking about preaching about it, but then I was just like, it doesn't really make sense to us, because that's not any way that we celebrate weddings in our culture today. But if you do a quick internet search, Jesus' 10 virgins parable, you'll realize that this parable would have been really familiar to all of the Jews and Israelites who are hearing that, because that was, all of these things that are mentioned are part of the Jewish wedding ceremonial and customs. And so what I'd like to focus on again, this is also National Vocations Awareness Week, and so some of the vocations in the church, so priesthood, religious life, marriage, consecrated single life, some of those involve making a vow of virginity moving forward as well. And so, again, I just wanted to start kind of with my own vocation story and then kind of work that out to the larger marriage, religious life, and so on and so forth. And so the first thing that I would just like to say about my own vocation is I'm the oldest of 11 children, and my parents never put any pressure on me to be a priest. And I really appreciate that now looking back. We had a family meeting every Sunday night, and we would always plan, you know, the logistics of sports practices and music lessons and all these sorts of things, because it was literally like an air traffic control situation where we had people going everywhere all of the time. And so we needed that time to sit down and plan out the calendar. But then that meeting would always end with just a short Bible passage. And then I remember a couple of different times where my parents said to all of us, if any of you ever decided to become a priest or a religious sister, we would just know that we would support you in that. And again, I really appreciate that looking back. I never thought that that was going to be me. But then my sophomore year, I started reading a chapter of the Gospels each day. And almost as soon as I started doing that, I heard Jesus just telling me, be a priest. And I knew it was from Jesus, because that was a thing that I had never considered in my life, ever, fathoming that. But I knew it was authentic, and I knew it was from Jesus. And that lasted for over a year. You know, every time I would sit down and just open the Gospels and read a chapter, it was like four or five minutes, I heard that same. And it wasn't like I heard it in my ears, but it was just on my heart. And so I knew that that was a call. And so I pursued that, of course. And I found a lot of times people will say, you know, do you miss having children or children of your own biological children? And I say, not really. Because, again, so first of all, one of the reasons that I don't miss that is that because you all call me father. And I am literally, that's not like a metaphor, I'm literally a father, and I'm in, so one of the ways I think that's really beautiful that caught me off guard when I was first ordained as a priest is that when a lot of times we get called out to hospitals, nursing homes, or family homes when a person is near death, and a lot of times in that situation there are aunts and uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, the sea literally parts when I or any other priest shows up. They were invited and escorted into that very inner sanctuary of the family, because we have the sacraments, and we're really a part of that family. And so, and then also like graduation parties and first baptism or first communion parties, we're invited to all of that. And so it's just, I've never really thought of my missing out and not having my own biological children, because again, we're invited as priests into all these different situations where we are exercising our fatherhood and our masculinity. And so again, I've never thought about that. I think another thing, I also know there's a religious sister I was a teacher for she was a student actually at Cardinal Ritter High School. And so I got to know her in that role. She just made final vows for the Sisters of Life in New York about 3 years ago. And so I've kept in touch with her, and she, the Sisters of Life, are mostly, they take care, they are pretty highly engaged in the pro-life work. So what they do is they try to encourage mothers, even though they're poor or maybe they're in desperate situations, to still have their children. So they also offer support and grief support for mothers who've chosen to have abortions. They're there caring for them, although Planned Parenthood is nowhere to be seen. But also they have like birthday parties and celebrations for the children, who are born, the mothers. You know, they have lots of. So long story short, she also, I think, doesn't miss having biological children because she has thousands and thousands of children in her life. The mothers, the actual babies themselves, the fathers. And so again, I just encourage everybody, any parents who are here, who might be tempted to discourage a person from becoming a priest or a religious sister or a religious brother, whatever that might be, maybe we are happy. We are happy, and again, I think that is a really important aspect to consider for any parent, in just letting them know, letting your children know that you would support them if they chose that. I think one of the things that, particularly for my priesthood, not only am I connected to all of you and your families, but there was also a real fraternity, even over time, to all the other priests in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And so just a quick story, and I actually brought a chalice. So every priest, when they're ordained, usually the family buys the priest a chalice. And so, but I had this idea, because normally a family, as I said, buys the priest a chalice, so then when that priest dies, most of the family doesn't really know what to do with that chalice, so they give it to the archives of the archdiocese or any other diocese. And so I went down to the archives right near ordination, and I picked up a chalice from a Father Edgar O'Connor, and his name is inscribed in the bottom of this chalice. It's Reverend Edgar O'Connor, and he was ordained May 25th, 1920, so 100 years ago. He was ordained a priest, and his priesthood only lasted 8 years because he died in 1928. And again, I am not related to him. I have no idea who, but I mean, obviously after I got his chalice, the Archdiocese had some information, and so I now pray for him every night, and also I ask him to pray for me, right? And so there's this beautiful connection. This is literally like a physical baton that's been handed on to me from Father Edgar O'Connor and his family to me, and my family had it refurbished, and then it's also then engraved at the bottom, John Hollowell, ordained June 6th, 2009, with love from your family. So literally, every time I celebrate Mass with this chalice, when I lift it up, I can see my own name, and I see Father Edgar O'Connor, and I remember to pray for him in that way. And so this is just another beautiful sign of that continuity that exists within the diocesan priesthood. So just in conclusion, I think one of the things that my parents, a lot of people told my parents when I was ordained a priest, you must be really proud of John. And I think that they had a beautiful answer. They said, we are proud of all of our children. And I think that was really profound for some of my youngest sibling was like 12 when I was ordained a priest. And so again, I think it was really helpful for them to hear that, right? We're proud of all of our children because again, they've all grown up and they're still practicing Catholics and they're having children and everything. And so anyway, I think it's a beautiful thing to remember. We're proud of all of our children. So again, my recommendation for whether you've already found your capital V vocation, priesthood, religious life, marriage, consecrated single life, or you're just looking for your day-to-day vocations, like in a smaller sense, like what am I called to today? I just encourage all of us to open up the Gospels and just read a chapter. It takes 4 minutes, and God will speak to you if you just give him those 4 minutes. God will let you know either what you're supposed to do with your life in a bigger sense or with your day-to-day life. And so again, I just encourage everyone to do that and trust that Jesus will speak to you in that reading of the Gospel.